having that wonderful song for our feet. Now I turn your attention to the study which I have announced, the secret and who obtained it. And reading for you, preparation for this, chapter 3 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 1. On that I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you, the nation, or Gentile. Since you surely hear of the administration of the grace of God that is given to me for you, for by revelation the secret, the mystery, is made known to me, according as I write before in brief, by which those who are reading are able to apprehend my understanding in the secret of Christ, which in other generations is not made known to the sons of humanity, as it was now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. In spirit, the nations, Gentiles, to be joint enjoyers and joint partakers of the promise, and a joint body and joint partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus, through the evangelical gospel of which I became the dispenser, in accord with the gratuity of the grace of God which is granted to me in accord with his powerful operation. To me, less than the least of all saints, was granted this grace, to bring the evangel of the unquestionable riches of Christ to the nations, the Gentiles, and to enlighten all as to what is the administration of the secret, which has been concealed from the eons in God, who creates all, that now may be made known to the sovereignties and authorities among the celestials through the Ecclesia, Church, the multiplied wisdom of God in accord with the purpose of the eons which he makes in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through his faith. This morning, as we come with this subject, we have already talked with you on the various callings and allotments in some measure. We pointed out about the calling the Church of God. Now we're to talk about the Church, which is the body of Christ. We find this brings before our hearts things which we must distinguish if we are to enjoy this revelation of truth as Paul has expressed it for us in this book of Ephesians. And to prepare your hearts some for that, I have a pamphlet here that will bring before your mind what we mean about distinguishing things which differ in God's Word. Here is a book or a pamphlet that has been issued with the purpose in mind of helping to correct what it says here, to correct the wrong impression of things spiritually. And in this, we find that he makes a quotation from a well-known American pastor and teacher, outstanding. And here we find the phrases that are generally used in Christendom around us. We need to read more widely than we do to appreciate some of the things that we have been graced to enjoy. And he's bringing this before our minds. For instance, his body and his bride. Now that's a quotation he's making. That is being taught by outstanding preachers and teachers of Christendom. His body and his bride. His bride, a glorious church. Is the bride of his heart, the church. The church is the bride of the Lamb. The church is both the body and the bride. Christ, the husband, the church, the wife. And this goes on and on, giving more and more of these quotations. I want you to, I read that, portion of that. to bring before our minds, in your heart, that this is just not a critical subject which we're dealing with, just to be technical. But while we have been enjoying to a very rich measure for many years about the church, which is the body of Christ, rightly dividing the word of truth, we speak, we also have not been careful enough to make it just as clear and distinct as we should. That's the problem that is before us today. And we have come to the place where we would distinguish between the church, which is the body of Christ, and the bride of the Lamb. We have seen that a long time. The church, which is the body of Christ, and the church, which is the bride of the Lamb. Now, that's in our Bible, and we've come to see that. But here is our problem. We have seen the church, which is the body of Christ, as a secret and as a later revelation. Yet what do? We get a group together and we organize them and we systematize them and we ritualize them. And we elect elders and deacons over the group. And we call it the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, we didn't get that out of our Bible. What did we do? I mean, as concerning the church, which is the body of Christ. But we went back in the early portions of the scripture, and we are still making use of the church of God, the church, the bride of the Lamb. We're bringing all of that material over here and wrapping it around the group we have together, calling it the church, which is the body of Christ. There's our trouble. We're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth all the time. But, beloved, we're falling far short. Now, you recall very well that in lesson 20, I summarize this, how we could tell the church of God, that it was characterized by the following specific features. It was localized. It's localized. You have churches of God here in Lakewood. They have churches of God in West Palm Beach. They have churches of God in Fort Lauderdale. They have churches of God all over the United States and other countries. Why? Because the church of God can be localized. You can't do that with the church which is the body of Christ. It's not localized. And the moment we begin to do that, that moment we are adulterating God's revelation of truth. That's the thing that has been the problem with us. Next, the church of God can be pluralized, and is pluralized in that, the churches of God. Churches of God. You can't pluralize the church, which is the body of Christ. It's singular all the time. Here are distinctions, defined distinctions, that we're not recognizing. Even when we have had the blessing of God upon our studies through the years, in which we have come to understand a lot of things. The church which is the body of Christ is always in the singular. And it's a sad thing to my heart that we find it expressed the body of Christ. And then we find among ourselves today that insisted upon bodies plural. Two bodies, three bodies, four bodies, and so on. When, beloved, in the scripture it's the body with a definite article on it, which is specific, which is definite, which is particular, and it cannot be pluralized. Just to see what it would mean if there were four bodies. What kind of monstrosity would it be if Christ was the head and had four bodies to himself? It never is said that in the scriptures. It's always the body of Christ. And to talk about having many bodies and so on, we can see how wrong it is. Now then, we find that it is always the Ecclesia. The Ecclesia. A different article, which is pointing out the fact that it is a distinct Ecclesia from all of the others. Therefore, beloved, when we begin to bring these things together and to wrap them up like that in confusion, you see what we have in this month. Another thing, the Church of God or the Churches of God, they are supervised. They have elders and deacons. Yes, they belong there. Elders and deacons. We come along, and actually, in many places today, there are groups worshiping, calling themselves a church, which is the body of Christ, and they have elders and deacons. Why? They went over here, pulled it right out of the Church of God, brought it over here, and put it in the church, which is the body of Christ. And there's no such thing with the church, which is the body of Christ. There is none that stands between the believer in the body of Christ and the head. Trust. Each one is joined into him as the head. And there is no earthly rulership, directions, or ritual, or elders and deacons and so on in the church, which is the body of Christ. It's not localized, it's not pluralized, it's not supervised. Each one stands individually in Christ. He is the head. And we're united and bonded together in the tie of the Spirit, but not visibly so. People ask me a great deal about our ministry here at Lake Worth and other places. Back up in South Carolina, where I've been a minister since 1926. And other places, well, have you got an organization? I said, no. You no doubt have wondered why we didn't have some kind of an organization here. They've asked me about that in South Carolina again and again. They've asked it in Virginia and in other various places where I've been. I have never done that. Why? Because I have recognized that the church, which was the body of Christ, is related to him as the head, the life, and the ruler in our hearts. And it does not call for any elders or deacons. From the moment that we begin to put them in, we are adulterating again and mixing and confusing God's revelation. The elders belong over here in the churches of God. Yes. God ordained them there. But when we bring them over here, we're not rightly dividing the word of truth. We're not distinguishing the things that differ. And that is the importance of this. Another thing, the Church of God is ritualized. It has its ritual. The rudimentary elements of the oracles of God enjoined upon them. They have baptism, they have Sabbath days, they have festivals, and all of those things. That goes with the Church of God. And is all and must be observed. But when you come over here in the church, which is the body of Christ, those things have no place, no part. We're complete in him. We don't go through this ritual and that ritual and observances and so on. The Apostle Paul emphasized that so specifically for our hearts in Galatians. The second chapter and verses 16, 17, 18. Let no one then be judging you in food or in drink or in the particulars of a festival or of new moon or of Sabbath, which are a shadow of those things which are impending. Yet the body is the Christ. You see, in Paul's day, the early time of Paul, they were actually, that was a problem, I think, when they would see those who were walking by faith and not by sight. They wanted to organize. They wanted to ritualize. They wanted to localize them instead of seeing them walking by faith and having holding to the head in whom they were complete. Let no one be arbitrating against you, wanting by in humility and the ritual of messengers to parade what he has seen, painted or puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding to the head, out of whom the entire body being supplied and united through the assimilation and ligaments is growing in the growth of God. Now, beloved, I have brought this before your heart, that you may see more clearly that God has ordained that we must recognize these various callings or churches in their purpose, in their order, and that we may also learn by that to walk in spirit and by faith in the wonderful promises that he has given us in his epistles, the prophetic epistles of Corinthians, and then especially Ephesians and Colossians. Now this morning, I was to talk to you about the secret, the mystery through obtaining. This word mystery, I have explained to you many times, and you already know it. Translated in our, it comes from the Greek word mysterion, and is translated in our Bibles by the word mystery or secret. The word secret is the better translation, I think. The divine meaning denotes some spiritual truth which could not be known to exist or be understood by mankind until it was brought to light by a revelation of God. It always refers to something which God held back in his own heart and mind and never gave to the prophets of old. Never gave to mankind, the former generation, when it comes down to the secret, which is the body of Christ. Other generations knew nothing about. And when Paul opened this up here for us, and he says, on this behalf, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you, the Gentiles, the nations. Since you surely hear of the administration of the grace of God which is given to me for you, or by revelation, the secret, and the definite article is there, the secret is made known to me by revelation. Then he goes on further. According as I write before in brief, by which those who are reading are able to apprehend my understanding in the secret of Christ, which in other generations is not made known to the sons of humanity as it was now revealed under his holy apostles and prophets. Now, we must put down a stake right there and not forget as it was now. Now when? When Paul wrote this epistle. Prior to that time, the revelation of the secret was still hidden from the ages and from mankind in God. It was unknown. It was committed to Paul to make, bring it to light, make revelation of. And I want to bring it to your hearts again, beloved friends, if I can, that you will call it to mind when you're reading and studying. Paul never told about the secret in his itinerary brief. There is a thing that we have taken for granted. That when Paul was called and separated and set out to preach the gospel of the grace of God, from that time on, he was preaching about the church, which is the body of Christ. That's just abroad in our mind. But you don't find that in your Bible. Absolutely. Nobody. We assume it's that way. But hear me, beloved. Go and search it out for yourself. No. What Paul says here when he first begins this chapter 3, on this behalf I call the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you, the nations, and surely you hear of the administration of the grace of God that is given to me for you, or by revelation the secret is made known to me, according as I write before in brief. According as I write before in brief. He didn't say according as I told you before. According as I preached before. According as I announced before. He said I write before in brief. I pointed out to you in lesson 20 and also 19 that when you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1, you'll find the first name of the secret. Let me read it for you. And I, coming to you, brethren, came not with superiority of word or of wisdom, announcing to you the testimony of God. Most of the Greek texts, like Westcott and Hort, Rotherham, Moffat, the New World Translation, and Goodspeed, 20th Century, and Canon, they all translate that, the wisdom announcing to you the secret of God. Then he comes on down in verse 6 and tells how that it is. Let us read it here, verse 6. Yet wisdom are we seeking among the mature. He didn't tell the crowd about it. He knew in his ministry of a year and 6 months there in Corinth, he gathered to him individuals and taught them the mature who could receive this. What? The mature. Get the wisdom not of this end, neither the chief man of this end who are being discarded. For we're seeking God's wisdom in a secret, which has been concealed, which God designates before the end for our glory, which not one of the chief men of this end knows, for if they know, they would not crucify the Lord of glory. But according as it is written, that which the eye did not perceive and the ear did not hear, to which the heart of man did not ascend, whatever God makes ready for those who are loving him. Yet to us God reveals them through his Spirit, for the Spirit is searching all, even the depths of God. Here he's writing about the secret for the first time. Not only that, but it's going a little further. For is any of humanity acquainted with that which is human, except the Spirit of humanity which is in it? But also that which is of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we obtained not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we make his perceiving that which is being graciously given to us by God, which we are seeking also, not with words taught by human wisdom, but with those taught by the Spirit, matching that which is spiritual with those who are spiritual. Now, that was the way Paul started this subject that we're talking about, the secret. And then, when you turn to the 12th chapter of Revelation of Corinthians, the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he picks us up in the 12th verse of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the one body, being many, are one body. Thus also is the Christ. I want to stop just briefly there and make explanation on that. Here is the first time the body is spoken of. The first time. And this is in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And for nothing. This was A.D. 57. A.D. 57. Now you have to come from Pentecost right on down through to A.D. 57. 27 years before you hear or read one word about the body of Christ. Here he tells about the body. And he begins to explain its unity, its one. Its unity and oneness. He never said anything about bodies, plural. Two bodies, three bodies, and so on. He said body, and he used the human body to explain it by. Yes. For even as the body, the human body, is one and has many members, yet all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, but also is the Christ. Now many translators, like commentators, and Greek students of this is the way they translate that. Many of them do it. Let me read it once more, and you must with me. For even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, thus also is the body of Christ. Now you say, well, body is not in there. That's the way Greeks do in their talk, in their life. And it's the way it's done many, many times in the scriptures. They'll take up an illustration and use it to explain a thing, and then they'll just reach the next thought and leave it for you to fill in that this spiritual revelation is illustrated by that physical revelation. Therefore, like Edison and like many other great commentators and teachers of other centuries, long before we came on here, they said that this was the spiritual body of Christ being brought to life here in comparison with the human body. It's the oneness of the human body with many members figuring the spiritual body of Christ spiritually, don't you see, as related to one another. And then he gives us how it's formed. For in one spirit, we all are baptized into one body, whether Jews are Greeks, whether slaves are free, and all are made to imbibe one spirit. Now that's the way the body of Christ is formed. It's not formed by me going out here and preaching the gospel to people, and they repent, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and baptize for the remission of their sins. That has nothing to do with the body of Christ. The body of Christ is formed by God's Spirit operating in the heart of those whom He has predestinated to have allotments in that body. And Admiral Lowdy and no other preacher has anything to do with putting them in that body. There's the whole couple. It's by God's Spirit that they're put in the body. And God opens their heart to see this truth, to believe it, and rejoice in it. And when God opens their heart and leads them in by the power of His Spirit into the body of Christ, they're there. And beloved, nothing changes them. They're happier. But I can't go over here and say, put this fellow and bring him over here and put him in the body of Christ. I'm going to organize a group together and call it the body of Christ. But if God hasn't put them in the body of Christ by His Spirit, they're still not in the body of Christ. That's the thing we must discern clearly. Now, to prove to you that this is so, here Paul, for the first time, is telling how the body of Christ is formed. For in one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether Jews are free, whether slaves are free, and all are made to imbibe one spirit. He doesn't say that the body of Christ is already in existence. He's telling us that this is the way it is to be made up, that it's to be brought up. Now then, let's go to Ephesians, will you? And check ourselves again. All that Paul says there. Turn to Ephesians, chapter 2. Chapter 2. And let's begin with verse 13. You know the whole account here. But we'll begin with verse 13. And there it says, yet now in Christ Jesus, you Gentiles, as verse 11 shows, who once are far off, are become near by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who makes thee both one. That is, the believing Jew and the Gentile, one. And raises the central wall of the barrier, the enmity in his place, nullifying the law of precepts and decrees, that he should decree in these two, the Jew and the Gentile, these two, in himself, into one new humanity, making peace, and should be reconciling both in one body to God. Through the cross, killing off the enmity in. Now here's what I want to get to. How is he doing that? Here's how he's doing it. And coming, he brings the evangel of peace to those above. And peace to those near. There's the truth. The Jew is near. He was near. And the evangel of peace went to him who was near. It went to those that were far off. For through him, we both have had the access in one spirit to the Father. We didn't get that through some man. We didn't get that through some teachers. We get there through the Spirit of God operating my heart, your heart, or the individual whom He has predestinated to receive this truth. And when they receive it, they have access through the one Spirit to the Father and become the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, time is running by fast. I'm a parrot. I have one other I want to bring to your heart here about receiving this, obtaining this blessing. But First, I want to show you the formation as Paul declares it in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and verse 27. I want you to check this, study it carefully, prayerfully, in Matthew 22, all 5 minutes. I have laid it up there so you will have no trouble, and especially by following the chart in the back of the book, to show you these callings and how they were born. Now let's turn to Paul here in chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. If you look closely to this here, you'll notice that in the Greek, there's no definite article here in this. And many translators just here, now you are Christ's body. You are Christ's body, as was said over there in verses 12 and 13. You are Christ's body and members of the part. Members of the part. Who also God indeed placed in the Ephesia church, first apostle, second prophet, third teacher, thereupon power, thereupon graces, healings, support, qualities, species of language. Now then, let's look at that just briefly. How did the body of Christ start? How did it begin? It began by God, through the operation of His Spirit, placing members of a part in the Ecclesia, first apostles, second prophets, and third teachers. That's the way it began. Now we may go back and do just like we have all been taught, more or less to various degrees. The body starts to get on Pentecost. That's taught in the Sophia reference Bible. Many of them began on Pentecost. That isn't what this says. And it said that on Pentecost, there were the two parts came in. And then when Peter went to the house of Cornelius, that's where the Gentile part starts. That's taught. But the Scriptural Reference Bible is being revised on that now. They're going to change that. Because they have now seen that is not true. Never then. We come along, and when Paul was separated, and went up into Galatia, preached. On his way up there, he went through the island of Cyprus, and he met a man by the name of Sergius Paul. And he preached unto him the gospel of grace, and he believed. And we said, that's the first member of the church which is the body of Christ, first Gentile member. These people find that God by His Spirit began right here among the Jewish people, the Hellenists in Corinth, the mature, the spiritual that Paul spoke to, God by His Spirit prepared them with spiritual endowment. And He placed the apostles in first. And then He placed in the prophets next. This must not be mixed back here with the prophets of the Old Testament and the 12 chosen apostles. The prophets and the apostles. The prophets and the apostles that the Lord chose. This says the apostles and the prophets. Two different relations of truth. And when we get that back and mix it with that, you can see what confusion it brings. No, He began by placing first in the creatures, the Gentiles, of the Jew part, members of the part, whom God indeed placed in the creatures, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and so on. Now then, please. And when the Gentile part comes in, they are united. They are bonded. The two parts make one. And He says, the both. We both. The two. It's not two bodies. It's not three bodies or four. It is speaking about the two people, the uncircumcision and the circumcision, the Jew and the Gentile, that He is by His one Spirit calling in two of one not. And how does He do it? By His one Spirit, He calls them into the one body. And He makes them a joint body. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians here, we read it once more, open your Bible then again, or make this notation, and study it. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 19, 20, and 21. Consequently then, no longer are you strangers and sojourners, sinners,
you Gentiles,
but your fellow citizens of the church,
the Jewish members of the parts that have been placed in the body of Christ, and belong to God's family, being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets.
But here, they are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the capstone of the corner, being Christ Jesus himself,
from whom the entire building, being connected together, is going into a holy temple in the Lord.
Now then, one more, and then we finish there with that.
Turn to Colossians 3:15.
And notice this, concerning the tie of maturity in the one body.
In Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ be arbitrating in your heart,
for which you were called also in one body and become thankful.
You were called also in one body and become thankful.
In other words, they were not called in different bodies. Then they one body.
They were called in one body.
Because there never was but one body.
Christ doesn't have but one body physically.
He doesn't have but one body spiritually.
And so we find that.
Last of all, I want to just point this part out for your heart.
Back in Ephesians again, chapter 2, verse 22.
We're going together. It's going into a holy temple in the Lord,
in whom you also, you Gentiles,
like the individuals here or anywhere else,
who by the Spirit of God are brought into access with the Father
and are reconciled in the one Father.
You also are being built together for God's dwelling place in Spirit.
A wonderful thing that comes before our hearts as you study the Ephesians is that the Jew part is no longer here.
It came in largely in the first century,
right there at the time of Paul and so on.
And then what happened?
The truth was lost.
And we have to come on down 1,500 years to Martin Luther before we even learn about justification,
the gospel of justification.
And then we have to come still further down to J.N. Darby,
when he made his translation and uncovered the secret,
the joint body of Christ,
bringing Jew and Gentile into one joint body, making them a new humanity, reconciling them in one body under God,
which was the secret.
The Gentile was coming.
Then there it was uncovered.
Way down there with J.N. Darby.
And here we are today as we look into the Word of Truth and God by His Spirit opens our eyes and we see this.
Then, beloved, what happened?
The Gentile part was just here and there.
We may find a Jewish member
of the part in the body of Christ.
It's largely we find ourselves when we talk about the body of Christ.
It's the Gentile part being called out since the first century
on that.
And therefore, it is important that we notice those little changes where Paul is saying, and you also are being built together for God's dwelling place in Spirit.
And wherever I dwell, or you dwell, or any other thought, we dwell together, two, three, or more,
we are God's dwelling place in Spirit
of the part of the church which is the body of Christ.
And beloved, in that way then, we conclude with the thought that I bring to you, who obtained it?
Not a question of me telling you,
not a question of anybody telling me.
It's a question of God operating in your heart,
my heart,
and all those whom he has predestinated, as chapter 1 says.
Before the disruption of the world, before the world bounced,
for the place of a son for him
in this great high calling in Christ Jesus.
The church which is his body.
The church which is his cabinet
that sits together with him at the head of the universe.
The complement by which all in all will be complete.
It's a wonderful, wonderful revelation.
I trust I have helped you, and I pray God's rich blessing upon you
as you search it out more deeply from day to day.
God bless you.
Our God in power.